Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
All right, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church coming to you from Chesapeake, Virginia. So glad that you're joining us today. We are beginning a brand new series. So if this is your first time joining us on the broadcast, you picked a really good day to be part of what we're doing. And I'm so excited about this new series. And it's called Love, that simple word love. Nothing fancy about that. So today is going to be kind of an introduction to this series that's going to be taking place for the next 5 days. And the key verse that we're going to be looking at is Philippians 1, verse number 3. Every time I think of you, says Paul, I give thanks to my God. Now notice what he says, not sometimes, not occasionally, not even frequently, but every time. Every time I think of you, I give thanks for you. I hope you have people in your life that you, whenever you think about them, you give thanks to God for them. You know, we appreciate people. Their value actually goes up. If you happen to own a house, you are hoping that that house will appreciate in value. And that's why you take care of your house. If something needs to be fixed, you get it fixed. And you want that house to constantly appreciate in value. Well, how about your relationships? Do you do the same thing? Do you appreciate your spouse? I'm so thankful for my wife. I don't know anybody else who could put up with my nonsense, but she does. I thank the Lord for my children. God's blessed me with 5 wonderful children, and I am such an honored father and husband. I just can't believe that God's blessed me with such a great family. I've got a dad that's up in heaven. I've got a mom who is still doing very well up in Massachusetts, and I'm come from a family of 7, and I'm so thankful that all 7 of us are kids, my mom and dad's children. Every one of us have been married to the same spouse we started out with. And I think my oldest sister's been married almost 38 years. Then I have another sister under her married 34 years. And then my wife and I have been married 30 years. So it's just amazing when you think about what happens when you actually give thanks for other people. Rick Warren says something about this matter of giving thanks. When somebody gets on your nerves, it's because they're not on your heart. What thoughts run through your mind whenever you think of somebody? And those thoughts that run through your mind whenever you think about that person will determine the level of joy that you experience. This is how Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Now, don't think of yourself more lowly either. We tend to be on one side or the other. Either we're too prideful or we're lacking and we're too humble, right? So it says, don't think of yourself higher than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Now, this letter that Paul is writing in the book of Philippians is a letter that is written to all of God's holy people. It's one of the prison epistles that is written as Paul is under Roman arrest and under Roman incarceration, probably under house arrest. And as he's writing this, Paul and Timothy is writing this together, and he refers to himself as servants of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul shows just how humble he is by including Timothy. You know, great people don't have to push those down who are below them. Great people always will bring them up. Somebody wrote this, and I thought it was very appropriate for the subject of love. If I could give you one thing in life, I would give you the ability to see yourself through my eyes. Only then would you realize how special you are to me. Is there anybody in your life that's how you think about them? As they look through your eyes, would they say, I never knew how special I was to you? We're going to spell the word love as we go through this series. Today is the introduction, but the word love, you spell it L-O-V-E. Letter L, lavish them with thanksgiving. We just came through Thanksgiving. We are to lavish one another with thanksgiving. And Paul, many times as he's writing his epistles, he would begin with that phrase, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Many times he says, I thank God for you. And he would name a specific church, like, I thank you, saints at Corinth. I thank you, saints at Rome. Lavish them with thanksgiving. Letter O, when we spell the word love, is overwhelm them with joyful prayer. You know, the most important thing that you can do for somebody is pray for them. I don't think God does a whole lot more than answer our prayers. As we cast our concerns upon him and as we overwhelm people with joyful prayer, that changes not only them, but it changes us. You ought to pray even for your enemies. The Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use us. It's hard sometimes to pray for our enemies. It's even harder sometimes to pray properly for our enemies. I know sometimes we may pray, God, take my enemies and take care of them, take them out of the picture. But I think we ought to pray for them joyfully. Have you ever prayed a blessing upon your enemies? The Bible tells us that we are to pray and bless them. Pray that God will bless them so they will see the goodness of God and they will turn from their ways. Letter V, when we spell the word love, is value them because of the gospel. Value people as God values people. You know, when you think about your life, on one hand, we are like the scum of the earth. That's how Paul referred himself as the scum of the earth. He began when he was first converted, and he says, I am the chief of sinners. And as he gets through his life, he never changes that. He says, I am the chiefest of all sinners. Value others because of the gospel. That person that you're having trouble getting along with, has it ever occurred to you that person is somebody that God values, and God values that person so much that Jesus died for him or her, just like he died for you. And then letter E, when we spell out the word love, expect and express the best for them. So the single thought that we have here is that we must have a single mind of thanksgiving for Christ and for others. And when we do that, an amazing thing happens. We get happiness in return. Paul likened it like this in Colossians chapter 3. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and be compliant to one another and forgive one another. That's Colossians 3, 12 and 13. I was reading a book not too long ago talking about the laws of happiness. And I wanted to share these with you real quickly. Why is it that some people seem to always be joyful in life? They seem to be happy. Nothing seems to get them down. It doesn't matter where you see them or when you see them, they're pretty upbeat. Well, they have certain characteristics in their lives. Here's the first one. They don't look for happiness. They create it. They're like the thermostat. The thermostat adjusts the temperature to what it's set for. Happy people say, wherever I go, I am going to create an atmosphere of happiness. It kind of reminds me of the sign that I used to have in my office. It was a poster somebody had given me. And it says this. Everybody brings joy to this office. Some when they come in and some when they go out. What would people say of you when you enter into their presence? Do you bring joy to them or do you bring misery to them? Some people, when I look at my phone, they're calling me. I say, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to pick up this call. There's other people that say, oh great, so-and-so is calling me. But you can create that happiness. You can set the atmosphere. Number two, happiness or happy people realize that happiness is not a goal. It is a byproduct. If you strive to be happy, you're not going to be happy. You just do the right thing and then happiness will come. It's kind of like an emotion that should not be driving our lives. It shouldn't be the engine of our lives. It should be the caboose of our lives. The engine of our life is doing the right thing, obeying God, obeying his word, being kind to one another. When we do that, lo and behold, a byproduct of that is that we become happy. The third characteristic of happy people is that their habits create their happiness. They have made it a habit to be happy. They realize that life is defined by the habits that I make. Another word for habit is faithful. How do you think? The Bible tells us that as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you think happy thoughts? The Bible is filled with passages of encouragement. There's a lot of discouraging people out there. There's a lot of down-in-the-mouth people out there. But you don't have to get down to that level. We can live above our circumstances. When you look at what God has promised us as followers of Christ, we ought to be the happiest, most joy-filled people on the planet. Here's a fourth habit of happy people. They understand that happiness is based on not happenings, because those are temporary. They understand that happiness is built on long-lasting relationships. Long-lasting relationships. Investing in relationships for the long haul. I think about the happiness of a marriage. One of my joys is seeing couples who have been married for decades and decades and decades. Last night, my small group, instead of meeting at my house as we usually do, decided to go by and visit one of our members who's in a nursing home here in Chesapeake. And as we went by to see this person, he brought so much joy to us. His wife passed away several months ago, and I thought that maybe we go by and encourage him, and maybe we can be a blessing to him. You know, after we left visiting with him, every one of us agreed that we got the greater blessing. He blessed us so much more than we could have ever have blessed him. In the course of our conversation, I said, "Hey, Pete, how long were you and your wife married before she passed?" And he said, 64 years. He says, "But I've known her my whole life." He says, "I've known her for 86 years, but we were married for 64 years. And he began to share just some of the joys they had in their long marriage and how God blessed them and how God blessed them with children and 5 grandchildren. And he looked back at the amazing blessings that he had experienced in his life because he had a long-term relationship, a long-lasting relationship. Here's the fifth habit that happy people have. They realize that happy habits are as addictive as bad habits. They look at life and says, "I've got to create some good habits in my life. I have some not so good habits in my life. I'm trying to eradicate those bad habits and replace them with good habits." Getting up early, getting into the Word, starting your day right. I think there's a difference, and a small difference, between a good Christian and a great Christian. A good Christian does good things, attempts to live by the Bible. A great Christian, however, is a difference about 15 minutes a day. Great Christians are in the Word every day. Great Christians are praying every day. The greatness of their faith is determined by their devotion to God. And an overflow of that is happiness. So as we look at this series that we're going to go through, just a couple of things that I want to point out as introduction. You will be a happy person if you have others on your mind and always thinking about them with thanksgiving. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He knows they're discouraged, and he writes these words, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, verses 1 through 6, Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, "I'm writing to you all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and the deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and give you peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God above." So Paul begins this epistle as he does many other epistles. And here's a few examples of how Paul begins other epistles. In Romans 1, verse 8, Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Christ Jesus for all of you." Ephesians 1, 16, he says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Colossians 1, 3, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers." 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, he says, "We always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and your love for all of you that you have for one another is also increasing." This passage of the book of Philippians was written to believers, for all believers. And we are learning here that we are to give thanks always, not only for Christ, but for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's the second thing that we learn from Paul in this whole concept of love. If I have Jesus in my heart, I am going to have thoughts of tenderness. If Christ is living within you, we drop down to verse 7 of Philippians 1. Again, New Living Translation. Paul says, it's right that I should feel as I do about you. Why? Because you have a special place in my heart. You share with me a special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you, how much I long for you with tenderness, compassion, the tender compassion of Christ. Now, when Paul started this church at Philippi, there was all kind of circumstances that were going on. He had mixed feelings about the church at Philippi. Some of the believers were struggling in that church. And we know this when we go back to the book of Acts, chapter 16, where the church was actually started. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and his companions travel throughout the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, and they're being kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching into the province of Asia. And he wanted to go and start a church at Philippi, but he couldn't get there. When he got to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. During that night, Paul had a vision of a Macedonian man standing and begging, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, they got up, and at once they leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And they go there, and lo and behold, somebody gets saved there. Lydia is a convert, the first convert in the church of Philippi. In fact, that's probably where the church got started. And as we read the rest of the story in Acts chapter 16, we see God doing some incredible things in that foundation of that church. He continues on with the establishment of that church, and God blesses them. And they were a group of people that really had no foundation in the gospel, but they are a church that God blessed, and God blessed them with a great start. And there were some things that had to happen in that church. There was exorcisms that took place. I wish I had time to kind of develop how that church got started, but it was fascinating. But when you look at the church at Philippi, four relational habits for the people in their lives. And these are four relational habits that we as followers of Christ should have. We ought to be grateful for them. The people that God brings into our lives, even the people that are hard to deal with. I think that God brings certain people in my life that are hard to deal with because God knows I need to learn some patience. And the trying of your faith produces patience. You may be in a small group and you're looking at your small group and there's some EGR people in your group, extra grace required. Every group has at least one. I remember one Sunday I was telling our congregation that every small group has an extra grace required person in that group. And at the end of the service, as I was shaking hands with people and as they were leaving to go home, one of the ladies came up to me and says, well, Pastor, you're wrong. Our church, our small group does not have any extra grace people. And the lady behind her had a little smile on her face, and she was pointing over the back of this lady to her, saying, she is the person that is the EGR person in our group. And I don't know about you, but whenever you get a group of people together, you're going to have at least one that is an extra grace person. Be grateful for them. Number two, pray joyfully for them. Pray with joy. Say, Lord, this person is hard to get along with, and I don't know why they're hard to get along with, but something must be happening in their life, and they have lost their joy. In Psalm 51, David records his prayer, his penitent prayer, after he is confronted by Nathan. Part of his prayer is a unique part of the prayer that he prayed. He said, Lord, would you restore to me the joy of my salvation? You know, you can't lose your salvation. We are in the palm of God and no man can pluck us out of his grip. But you certainly can lose the joy of your salvation. And maybe there's somebody in your life today that you're scratching your head and you say, I don't know why this person is so ornery and cantankerous. Obviously, they've lost the joy of their salvation. Why don't you pray that God will fill them with the joy of their salvation, that God will bless them and they'll be overwhelmed with God's gratefulness and God's provision for them. The third way that I think you'd pray for them is expect the best for them. Teachers know that students do what you inspect, not what you just expect. When it comes to relationship with other people, look for the best in them. Look for them to do the right thing. I think people pretty much live up to our expectations of what we have for them. If you have children and you don't expect them to do well, they're not going to do well. You know, don't tell your kids, you're not very good at math because I wasn't very good at math and your grandfather wasn't very good at math and we're just a family of poor math students. Don't buy into that. Expect something great for them. Expect something great from others. And then number four, love them like Jesus. I will never get over the fact how much God loves me. He loves me unconditionally. I don't deserve his love, but he loves me unconditionally. If I have love in my prayers, my thoughts will be transformed. Let's quickly look at Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Paul says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. This will bring much glory and praise to God. We realize that we have been given so many blessings. Hebrews 6:10 tells us that we belong to God and he won't forget the love that you have shown to other people. When I gave this message in our church, I said, I have a takeaway for you, and that is give happiness away. So many times we think if we give something away, that means we'll have less. Happiness is one of those things when you give it away, you get more. When we had that Thanksgiving dinner at at Hickory High School, the biggest blessing was received by those who served, by those who contributed, and they were just filled with thanksgiving. We had people coming through our doors that night who said, I just want to come and serve. And we put them back there washing dishes. They were so happy they could serve. Give happiness away. There's four things that you can do as you pray for people. Pray that grow in love, as Paul does here. Pray that they make wise choices. Pray that they will live with integrity. Pray they will become like Jesus. You know, God is not just to us. He gives us blessings. When I concluded this sermon, I had all these candy bars, Snickers bars and Almond Joys and Sour Patch Kids and Lifesavers and Extra Gum. And I said, I want you to take this candy and I want you to give it to somebody. Don't take it for yourself. Pass it along. And then they began to share the testimonies of how a simple, random act of kindness brought joy to others. So many people need encouragement. We are given the ministry of encouraging one another. We are told to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another daily as we see the day of Christ approaching. So this morning, I pray that you will see the glory of God. I pray that you will pass on his goodness and his joy to others. We pray that we'll be having a heart that is filled and overwhelming with joy. Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That is where our strength comes from, having joy in Christ, putting Jesus first, others second, yourselves last. Thank you so much for joining us today in this broadcast. I look forward to continuing this series tomorrow. So join us tomorrow, same time, and I look forward as we talk about part number one of how we can love. I pray that God blesses you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.